your Bibles to the... We're going to have two passages of Scripture we're going to look at. The first one is going to be Genesis chapter 15. I'm going to talk about the promises of God, or a promise of God. And sometimes the word of knowledge is one of the gifts of the Spirit found in Corinthians, is the Lord will, by the Holy Spirit, show something to one who's being used on another individual. We've seen that over the years at Calvary Temple. You're familiar with words of knowledge for people. Sometimes words of knowledge will come, and they're not just for an individual, they're for a group of people, a prophecy. And then sometimes a word of knowledge can be in a sermon or in a message. And I believe that this morning I have a word of knowledge built into the message for more than one person here. Having said that, I'm going to ask that you search your heart at the beginning of this message, and I want to ask you a question. Do you have in your heart, you believe, a promise that God has given you that you have not yet seen fulfilled? And I want to explain what is a promise. And I'm not just, I don't want to generalize it so much where we can't wrap our arms around it. When I say that, when you look at your life, can you search your heart and say, God has made a promise to me, and I have this dream that is from the Lord. And I want to talk to you today as a father, or let me talk to you as a grandfather. What qualifies something to be a dream from the Lord? A dream or a promise from God can come in different ways. Number one, you can get a dream from the Lord in your sleep. I'm not saying every dream you have in your sleep is from the Lord, but there are some that you have an awareness that I believe is from God. Joseph had a dream in his sleep. And so you can get a dream from God that way. Another way a dream or a promise can come is He can give you a vision, and you can see it. Those seem to be a little more rare. I've had a few of those. But the third one is you can have within you a strong, holy desire, a strong passion that you have that you want to see something done. And that passion that is in you and that strong desire is often put there by God. It may not come from as a dream. It may not come because you saw some vision, but you would say, you know, I've always had this strong passion that is in me, and often, and only one can have to work that out in prayer, is from the Lord. An example of God giving someone a dream that didn't come by a vision or a dream in the sleep would be Nehemiah. Nehemiah, when he heard about the situation, he was the king's cupbearer, and yet he heard about the state of his people that he was away from. And he was, boy, he had a strong passion and a desire to see that situation fixed. That was from God. And so I want to begin to clarify this morning that I want to talk to you if you have one of those three about God give us some wisdom about this area, and I want to speak to it. To help us understand this message, please look at Genesis chapter 15. I want you to see a promise that was made. And God's promises are always good things. And it puts hope in our heart. And Bible says when hope is deferred, it makes the heart sick. Sometimes when the dream that you've longed for and you've wanted, and it goes on and on, and time goes on and on, and you don't see it. Sometimes discouragement can come in, and then you can wrestle with that. But here is a promise that God gave to Abraham, and it's found in Genesis chapter 15. And he says, we'll look at verse 12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram. And lo, and horror of great darkness fell upon him. And he said unto Abram, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years. God was telling Abraham, or Abram at the time, before his name was changed to Abraham, that your descendants are going to go into bondage 400 years. And so he was telling Abram this. So we know that Abraham, or Abram, and then there was Isaac, and then Jacob, and then Joseph. And now I want you to turn to the book of Acts, chapter 7. Because Stephen, is just about to be stoned. And in this sermon, he's ministering to the people. This is hundreds and hundreds of years later. And he is going back to these people, reminding them of their history and what God had done. And it says in verse 14. Now this is about 400 years later. After God had told Abraham, Abram dies, but that promise was verbally passed down to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then Joseph. We're going to pick up at Joseph. Then sent Joseph and called his father Jacob to him, and all his kindred, 75 souls. So Jacob went down into Egypt and died, he and our fathers. And were carried over into Sichem and laid in the sepulcher that Abram bought for a sum of money of the sons of Emor, the father of Sichem. And I want you to notice verse 17. But when the time of the promise drew near, they know, you know, it's getting to that time of that promise that was made to Abraham. So when the time of the promise drew near, which God had sworn to Abraham. Now remember, at this time, the people are in bondage. Just as God said to Abram would happen. That out of them, they're going to go into bondage. And in that promise that God gave Abraham to his descendants, he would deliver them out of that bondage. And they would come out with great substance. And so it says, and when the time of that promise drew nigh, which God had sworn, verse 18, till another king rose which knew not Joseph, the same dealt subtly with our kindred and evil treated our fathers, so that they cast out their young children to the end that they might not live. Now this is about the time when Moses comes on the scene. In which time Moses was born and was exceeding fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of Egypt and was mighty in words and deeds. Moses was a good talker. He was well trained. In fact, when he told God, "I'm slow of speech," he wasn't telling the truth. He was a good talker. And God said, "Oh, you're going to play that game? All right, I'll give you Aaron." And he probably wished he'd have never fibbed. But back to here is Moses. And he's, don't forget, Moses' mother was a God-fearing woman, and her dad. And no doubt they told Moses, "Moses, God delivered you." And Moses, remember, as he was found in that basket, and Pharaoh's daughter found him, and Moses ended up in Pharaoh's courtyard, and here his mother is. How many mothers would like to get paid for raising your kid? Well, she got wages for taking care of Moses. Some would say, "I'd do it for nothing." There's times your mood would say, "You couldn't pay me enough." But here is Moses, and I want you to begin to see that you know good and well that his mother would say to Moses, "Moses, you're special. God delivered you. And now the time of this promise is, we believe God has his hand on you, Moses." And Moses, in his mind, he begins to put things together. And he, now I want you to see, now Moses is 40 years old. Don't forget, the time of the promise is coming soon. And Moses is in the Pharaoh's palace, but he knows back yonder is his people in bondage. And when he was full 40 years, verse 23, it came into his heart to visit his brethren, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them suffer wrong, he defended him and avenged him that was oppressed and smote the Egyptian. And now notice verse 25. For he supposed his brethren would have understood how that God by his hand would deliver them, but they understood not. It is believed by many that Moses is beginning to realize God has chosen me to deliver my children. My birth was, and my deliverance was of the hand of God. And now Moses, as he visits them, and don't forget, it says the time of the promise drew near. And Moses he's thinking, "My brethren will understand that God has chosen me to bring deliverance to the children of Israel." And so Moses, he gets ahead of the game. And he kills a man that he sees is wrongfully treating another. And now when the next day he sees a couple of quarreling, and don't forget, Moses, I believe, is thinking, "Boy, it's time. It's time." And now he tells his brother, "Quit fighting." And he's thinking, they'll see that God's picked me. And they didn't see it. And they said to Moses, "Moses, are you going to do to us like you killed that guy yesterday?" And fear grips Moses' heart. And he's thinking, uh-oh, word's going to get out back to Pharaoh. And he realizes they're not with him. And I'm sure that Moses is concerned and bothered. What about the dream? What about God using me? And Moses, he flees. And now, for the next 40 years, he's on the backside of the wilderness. And then, when the exact time came for the promise, then God spoke to him out of the burning bush. I want to talk about when your dream meets opposition, and when your dream is not quite yet. The Bible is full of God's promises. And as I was praying on this, I was taken back on just how many promises are in the Bible. that God has made. They're called divine promises. They come in all kinds of categories. If we were to remove just the promises in the Word of God, we'd have a very small Bible, because many of them are God giving promises, whether it be individually, whether it be collectively, what he's promised to do. As kids, I was thinking, we used to say, I promise, I cross my heart, I hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Where in the world did that come from? If that's what I have to do to get a promise, stick a needle in my eye, forget it. But as kids, we have that saying. In my office, years ago, I don't see it as much anymore, but we used to have at Christian bookstores promise boxes. How many have a promise box at home? And just a few. It's a thing that's fading out, but it's a little box, and in there there's maybe 50 to 100 promises. And so you say, Lord, what are you saying to me today? And you grab that promise, and it's encouragement. But God's promises are called unfailing promises, because in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 56, we find these words, Blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel, according to all that he promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. We read in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. And then Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1, Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Peter says in 2 Peter 1, 4, Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, plural, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. You are never too old for God to give you a promise. You might think, well, that's just, you know, for younger people, but I'm up in age. Listen, Abraham was 90 years or 75 when God came and gave him a promise. In Genesis 17, it says, And Abram was 90 years old and nine. And the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant or my promise between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. Now, he wasn't saying be perfect as we might think. He was just saying, live right, Moses. If you'll live right and live for me, then the promise that I gave you is going to come to pass. And what he was telling Abraham when he said, walk before me, is just be my friend. Just be my friend. And God wants you to be his friend. Now, this wasn't the first time that God came to Abraham and gave him a promise. This promise, this dream that God gave Abram, you find about four or five times in the Old Testament. It began in chapter 12 when Abram was 75. And he said, Now the Lord had said unto Abraham, or Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And the promise, when it was first given, he only had so much understanding. And it seems, as you read the story, as it unfolds, the promise and the dream began to build more and more, and he began to understand it as God gave more details to the promise, which was the promised land, and that Abram, you're going to be a father of a great nation, and I will make thy name great, and I'm going to bless thee, and I'm going to bless thee, and bless those that bless you, and I'm going to curse those that curse you. And then you read on, Some years passed. Now we're at chapter 17. The first one was he was 75. Now he's 90. And nothing has happened. And in regards to him seeing this promise, this dream, which God did give Abraham, or Abram, and that he'd have a child. And Abram misunderstood the promise because he knew he'd be a father, but he wasn't aware that it was going to be through Sarah. So Abraham, he doesn't understand it correctly, and he listens to his wife to help fulfill the promise. But when he was finally told, no, Abraham, it's not going to be through some servant or Hagar, it's going to be through Sarah, your wife. And Abraham, he busts a laugh. He just starts laughing. He thinks, oh, good night, Lord. I'm 90, and my wife is going to have a baby at 90? And he laughed, and that's when the Lord, is anything too hard for thee? In fact, when Sarah heard, she laughed. But I want you to see something about these different ones that God gives a promise to, that when you are given a promise, at the first, generally speaking, it's going to put hope in your heart. And you're going to be excited. Yes, I believe God will do what he said. And as you act upon it, it said when Abraham believed God, it was counted to him, he was credited for righteousness. In Genesis 14, continuing to encourage him. As I mentioned, over the years, he would come to Abraham and remind him again of it. And Genesis 15, the Lord came unto Abraham in a vision, saying, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. And as time begins to go on, what I want you to see, it happened to Joseph, it happened to Abram, it happened to Moses, and it often happens to God's people, that there comes much opposition to the promise, and often the promise dies, and it seems there's no way it's ever going to happen. In the case of Abram, we have 25 years passing to where now Abram, it said he staggered not at the promise of God, but on one hand, he was struggling with how this was going to happen. But let's take Joseph. God comes to Joseph and God gives him a dream when he's a young man, maybe 16, 17 years of age. And he's in this dream, he sees that he's been elevated to a great position. We read where Joseph shares his dream with his brethren, and they begin to despise him and call him the dreamer. And then you remember what happened to Joseph? He's sold into slavery by his brethren. And the Bible says now as he's this prisoner in Egypt, when you read the book of Psalms, it says that iron entered into the soul of Joseph. David is referring to Joseph. They knew their history well. And when it says iron, it meant hardness. And within Joseph, you know good and well that there were times that he thought, it's never going to happen. It's never going to happen. God promised me this, but obviously not. Here I am, a prisoner. And you talk about a prisoner, he was a servant to the prisoners. He was as low down as you could get, and yet he was promised that he would be about as high as you could get. And iron enters in his soul. And I want you to see that often, as in the case of Moses, it must be time, God's getting ready to do it. And then he's hit with a strong opposition. And Moses flees to the backside of the wilderness in the next 40 years. I don't believe that Moses was really as excited about the promise as he was back when he supposed his brethren would understand. And yet that day when God came in the bush to Moses, and that promise came alive again. The same was true with David. Brother Skip mentioned David last week. Here David is told by the prophet Samuel that you're anointed king. And what happens? I'm sure David was excited, but now he's sent back out to the wilderness. He did end up going to the palace of Saul and maybe thought, you know, maybe this is God in his wise way orchestrating my steps. And here David plays his harp for Saul, but now an evil spirit comes upon Saul and he throws a spear at David. And for years, David is fleeing from his life. And I'm sure David thought, I don't think I'll ever be king. In fact, there were many, many years that went by before David actually became king over both of the northern tribe and the southern tribe. He was king for a while, but that was only half. And it was years. And there was much opposition to where I'm sure David thought, boy, is it ever going to happen? And it did. But it happened with Moses. It happened with Joseph. It happened with, in the case of, where we got Joseph, we got Moses, and David. Jesus said, and it's a principle I've often found, Jesus said in John 12:24, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it dies, it'll bring forth much fruit. Often, for reasons that God knows that way he gets the glory, the dream will die in your heart. And you'll come up against so much opposition that in the natural, you'll think, it'll never happen. I don't see how it's ever going to happen. You know that for 4,000 years, Israel kept looking for their promise, the Savior. Over and over, hundreds of times in the Old Testament, a promise was that a Savior is coming. And so here is Jesus in the fullness of time. He's born. And the disciples and Israel is excited. Here is our promise. Here is our Savior. And then they watched him die. And their hopes were that they had for their Savior, and all the hope they had died. And Jesus said, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground. When a farmer plants that wheat, he has that wheat or that grain, if it could talk, has great expectation that I'm going to grow and produce more grain than just myself. But that grain dies. And it's a mystery to this day how life comes back. And here Christ, up from the grave, he arose. There were so many promises that a Savior would come. He was told he would die for our sins. He would be a counselor, Isaiah said. He'd be a king, one prophet said. One prophet said he'd come with healing in his wings. And all these things, Jesus is doing them. Even Zacharias in the temple, Jesus' uncle, in Luke 1:67, we read, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he hath visited and redeemed his people and hath raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David, as he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all that hate us, to perform the mercy promised. They knew mercy had been promised. And here's Jesus. And here's John the Baptist that was promised that would come, that would pave the way. And here's their Savior. And the promise died. Not only do we learn that promises die, but I want to ask you, for those of you that, you know, I can't compete with that little sweet thing. She is blessed. What a sweet little girl. I sound like a politician, don't I? Kissing babies. ask you to go back. Has God promised you something? Just because it's died, you watch God bring it about.
Thank you, Lord.
That's my message I want to give you.
Thank you, Lord.
Because the Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick.
Amen.
I remember, and I have two illustrations. When I went to be youth pastor at Roseburg, my first in a church job as a youth pastor, there were 7 or 8 kids. 3 of them were the preacher's kid. We had 4 others. And we're having a meeting with the kids, and I'm young and all ready to go, wanting to believe God and see great things. And this was not me, but the Lord moved on my heart and spoke to me, said, you'll have 100 kids in your youth group. Had been unheard of. And I remember, wow. And I shared it. Be careful of sharing your promise. And we began to grow. And God began to bless. And revival began to take place. And now our youth group is up to about 60 kids. And then I came across some serious problems where I was at. And it caused me to have to resign and to go back home. And I was pretty confused. I knew God had spoke to me to go back home, but I didn't understand. And so when I announced I was leaving, I remember many of the young people, some of them that meant sincere and they weren't trying to be mean or vicious, they said, well, but you said, Brother Connor, that God promised you 100 kids. And I didn't know what to say. I thought, well, maybe I missed it. How many know you could miss it? And yet, God will never embarrass you. I've learned that. He won't embarrass you. And I said, I don't know what to say. And I went home. And my wife, and we were there at home, never thinking we'd come back again. See, the preacher had done something wrong. You'd like all the juicy details, wouldn't you? I'll take an offering if you really want to know. But I remember I told my wife, we can't. But the preacher called up and he apologized and admitted where he had been wrong and asked me if I'd come back. Do you know the day he called was the day I was just laid off at a job welding. I remember coming home and telling my wife, so I got fired today. She got fired. I said, what'd you do wrong? I said, well, they said they didn't have enough work. But I took it personal. How many take things personal? And I went home all down and went to my mother and dad. I don't know what I'm going to do. She didn't make enough money to. And both of us were struggling. And then he asked us to come back. Yes, after made things right. And we went back. And now the youth group is maybe down to about 40 because where the shepherd's smitten, the sheep are scattered. You don't have somebody for position just by the nature of it. And so we got things going again. And the thing kept building and building and building. And mind you, I'd kind of forgotten about that promise. It died. I was embarrassed about it. And one Sunday morning, I'm sitting on the platform. And just in worship, the Lord spoke to me and said, remember the 100 I promised you? They're out there in the congregation right now. And without thinking, I leaned over to the pastor and I said, you know, God just told me that the 100 that he promised me, that they're here today. And he knew when I said God talked to me, he seen enough evidence that he trusted. He said, really? He said, well, let's count them. I thought, no, don't do that. And so he said, God just said to Brother Connor that he said that the 100 is here. And it was a good crowd. That he said, I want all the young people to stand between this age and this age, and let's count them. Oh, Lord, don't embarrass me. And you know, there was about 102 that morning that stood. And I learned a valuable lesson. God gets the glory. And the reason he gets the glory, not man, is he will allow a death or enough opposition to come so you'll know it's not you, but it's God. And Moses when he was trying to help, and no doubt sincere, supposing his brethren would understand. They didn't. And it died. And now, 40 years later, it really was about 430 years when you really add it all up, but it came to pass. The same with Joseph. The same with David. My father. I can't really say, well, later I did, but early. And I'm talking now about a longing you have. A great passion, a great desire that you have is probably from God when it don't go away. And I, Father, I wept so much for his salvation. I prayed, and it seemed the more I prayed, the meaner he got. And the more I prayed and wept, over 40 years passed. But my daddy got saved. What I thought would never happen, happened. It died. I remember, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago, one Sunday morning, Sherry and Bob were coming forward and I was going through. I didn't know what I said at the time, but I said to Bob and Sherry, soon. I often am not aware, really. And Sherry called me up for maybe a week, or I don't know how much longer, maybe a month, or she said, Brother Connor, can I ask you a question? I said, yes. I said, what? She said, what does soon mean? And I didn't know I had said soon. And I said, well, I don't know, soon means soon. I said, why do you ask? She said, because we were down praying for my daughter, for her to find a husband. And you said, soon. So we want to know what soon. I don't know. But he came soon enough. And I want to give you hope. And I want you to not give up on what he's promised you. He'll do it. He will do it. You may face a death. You may face opposition. But I'm just here to say he is faithful. Yes. To every promise in the book is mine, mine, mine. He's promised to the dream he gives you. He's faithful to the vision he may have given you. He is faithful to the burden that he has given you. You don't find anywhere that Nehemiah had a vision or had a dream, but he had a burden. And when that burden is continually there, he's going to do something. He's going to do something. And that is what I wanted to prophetically say to some of you. That you just watch God. You just watch God's faithfulness. You may die and it may come to pass, like Abram. But he will do it. He will do it. If you have such one of those three categories this morning, would you stand? One thing I want to mention is during the death of the vision, be careful that you don't try to force to make it happen.
Yes.
How many, we're worker co-laborers together, that be true.
Yes.
But let God do it. Yes. Don't be like Moses and kill and maybe be sincere. I know I have a tendency to want to push God. And one day I remember John Wimber, a great man of God, said one day the Lord, he said, spoke to him and said, John, you're pushing me. And sometimes, as much as God is going to do it, learn to walk with God. Abraham, we all know how he tried to make it happen. And he got an Ishmael out of it. And so don't create an Ishmael. I want to talk to you today as a father, but just walk with God. Abraham believed God and staggered not at the promises. She's just saying amen. Would you come and listen? I want you that are standing, come and stand. I just want to pray that God will give you wisdom, encouragement. Never give up on that promise. It says that when the time drew near, and I have sensed that God's getting ready to meet some of your promises. And I say that prophetically. Let it be God. And that way, you say, why does God let the death come? That way, when it happens, you'll know it's God. You'll know it's God. And not you. And He'll do it. Reach over to the one next to you, would you please? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness. What you have promised, you will do. And this is the word that the Lord would speak unto thy heart. For you have need of patience. After that you have done the will of God, that you might receive the promise. Know that I have not teased thee, nor will I embarrass thee, nor have I put that in thine heart, that thou would be discouraged. But I am faithful, that calleth you will also do it. Therefore rejoice in the Lord thy God, and know that God will keep his word and bless you and do that which he has told you. Amen. Amen. Father, we just praise you. Lord, we just bless your name this morning. I want you to let your hopes rise up, and at the same time with wisdom rejoice in his goodness that he's going to do it. Father, we just bless your name. We thank you, Lord, that you are going to do it in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, you will do that which you have promised. We don't know how, but Lord, that's not what matters. But we trust you and believe you, and we rejoice in your goodness. Father, you will do it in Jesus' mighty name. We praise you, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Lord, meet the desire of this heart. You will do it. And Lord, you will show yourself strong to this daughter, oh God. Lord, she's trusting you. Minister in Jesus' mighty name. Father, touch, we pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, thank you for Doug, oh God. Lord, you that has begun a good work in him will perform it. Lord, we walk trusting, Lord, knowing you will do it in Jesus' name. Lord, touch Marsha, oh God. Thank you, Jesus. Will the rest of you stand and join us in prayer, Father, minister unto Marsha. Oh God, do it, we pray. We thank you, Lord. Father, continue to be with Brian, oh God. In the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, you will do it. You will bring it about in your time, oh God. I pray for his faith, oh God, that he stagger not, but Lord, believing your mighty, precious word in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, oh God. We thank you for Brother Arden, oh God. Oh Lord, his family, oh God, that he's trusted you for. Oh God, you will do it, Jesus. We rejoice in your faithfulness, oh God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Father, thank you, Lord. Touch Brother Norm. Oh God, as a boy in the house of God, he began to know you. Lord, stir up, oh God, I pray, the gift that was handled by hands laid upon him. Continue, Lord, to rise, raise him up to a mighty man of God in Jesus' name. May the anointing of his grandfather, oh God, continue to bubble up within his heart. Oh Jesus, may you come forth mightily in his life. May we continue to believe your word and your promises in Jesus' name. Father, thank you, oh God. Oh God, continue to do what you promised. Lord, we know we let you do it. Touch Brother Jim, oh God. Minister in the name of Jesus. We agree together in our faith that you will do that which you have promised. And you will do it, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's just find a place to pray, shall we, and rejoice in His goodness. Hallelujah.
Thank you. Let me know.